This episode of the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Get exclusive rewards and more by visiting outsidehealthandfitness.com/support. Outside Health and Fitness Podcast, episode 155, Ice Thickness, Safety and Fun on the Ice.
Welcome to the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast. We're getting outside the box, outside our comfort zone, and outside and in shape. If you're bored with the same old fitness routine at the gym and you're ready to try something new, then this is the show for you. We're exploring new and fun ways to get fit on the trail, on the water, on the slopes, and outside.
Hi, this is Steve Stearns from Outside Health and Fitness, and thank you for joining me for another episode. If you're new to the show, we like to stay fit and active by having fun outside. We like to ride, slide, run, walk, hike, bike, golf, rolf, swim, and ski. If it's fun outside and it keeps us healthy, we love it. So if you're like us and you like to have fun outside, then you found the right place. As I record this in December of 2015, we're having an unusually warm winter so far. And if you're someone who has to pay for heat, you'll like it. And if you're someone who likes to get out in frozen ponds and lakes to ski, skate, and ice fish, you don't like it. And in the winter, frozen lakes and ponds provide a fun opportunity for outdoor adventure, but as in the case with most outdoor pursuits, you need to think about safety too. On today's show, you'll discover how to tell if the ice you're about to go out on is safe, what to do if you or someone in your party falls through, and how to have a safe and fun time out on the ice this winter.
OutsideHealthAndFitness.com.
Now, before we get into talking about staying safe on the ice, I wanted to let you know what's coming up this week on my new show, Funky Fitness Now. This week, we're talking about some scary supplements you might want to avoid. Here's a clip.
Welcome to Funky Fitness Now.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Jessica, and we host Funky Fitness Now. Don't take the nuclear garbage pill because join us each week at funkyfitnessnow.com.
On iTunes, Stitcher, and other top podcast networks.
Stay fit and funky.
So as I said earlier, going out on the ice is a lot of fun. I mean, when the conditions are right, many lakes around here look like little cities. You know, you have cars and trucks and little houses, people skiing, skating, playing hockey. It's almost like a carnival type of atmosphere, and it can be a ton of fun, but there are dangers too. Now, the CDC says that every day about 10 people drown in the U.S., and when ice is involved, it's estimated that half of those drowning victims were attempting to rescue another person or animal who fell through the ice. So if you're going to venture out on the ice, you need to know about ice thickness safety, how to tell if the ice you're on will support you, and what to do if you or someone you're with falls through. So how do you tell if the ice you're on is thick enough to be safe? Well, there are three things that together can help you make an assessment of ice thickness. The first is just a visual inspection. The second is to measure the ice. And the third is to get advice from local experts. Now, it's important to keep in mind that the ice can be thick in one part of the lake and thin in other parts. There's a lot of variables involved, you know, currents, flowing water. Another concern is the chance of ice thawing, even under a blanket of snow. You know, ice freezes and thaws all the time throughout the winter, and that can make the surface ice unstable. Now, before we talk about how to test whether or not the ice is safe, let's talk about what not to do. Believe it or not, some people think that a good way to test the stability of ice is to go out on it and jump up and down. I know, it doesn't make much sense because if it's not safe, the way you're going to find that out is to go for a cold and dangerous swim. Now, believe me, there are much smarter and safer methods for determining whether the ice is safe. So let's talk about that visual inspection of the ice first. So the first thing that you can look at is the color of the ice. If the color is blue or clear or green, generally that indicates that the ice is safe for things like skating, skiing, walking, and you should do further assessments. If it's dark, that can indicate that it's too thin and you should probably avoid it altogether. And if the ice is white, it might be weak because it has air or snow trapped inside. Finally, take a quick look at the surface to see if you see any signs of open water. So those are all good first quick inspections that you can do to help determine whether or not it's safe to go out on the ice and that you should do further assessments. But the best way to really find out if the ice is going to be safe enough is to measure the thickness. So the way to do this is to drill a hole or chip a hole into the ice. If you bring something like a tape measure with you, and you can use a stick as well, but a tape measure is pretty good because you get a real accurate reading. Put the tape measure down in the hole, clip it underneath the ice, and then take a measurement of the thickness. Now, as a general rule, if the ice is 3.5 to 4 inches thick, that's thick enough to support your body weight. But like I said earlier, you need to be aware that the thickness does vary across the ice, so you're going to want to take measurements often as you're out there. Now, stay away from unfamiliar areas and any areas where there is running water. Now, at 7.5 inches, the ice is considered thick enough to support a car, and at 10 inches, a truck. I'll have a link in the show notes to an ice thickness chart from the Farmer's Almanac that you can use as a guide before venturing out in groups on snow machines or other heavier vehicles. Finally, talk to trusted locals in the area. People like game wardens or guides. Watch local weather and then follow any warning signs that you see about dangerous conditions. So now that you've made an assessment and you're going to head out on the ice, let's talk about some of the basic safety equipment that you want to bring with you. Now, the most important thing to bring with you is a friend. A good rule is never go out on the ice alone. In addition, always be sure to let someone know where you're going, what you're doing, and when you expect to be back. Now, there are pieces of gear designed specifically to help you stay safe on the ice. And one such piece of gear is called a spud. It's something that ice fishermen use. It's basically this long metal pole with a sharp end that allows you to reach out ahead and test the ice before you move forward. James Holst from In-Depth Outdoors says what he
really likes about this piece of gear is it keeps me out of harm's way. Before I get into trouble, when I'm walking or testing ice, this spud is going to reveal ice that's too thin to support my weight. So as I'm walking, I'm spudding out in front of me to make sure that I have ice thickness sufficient to support my weight. For me personally, that's 3 inches plus. While most people would consider this a piece of safety equipment, it's also a very useful piece.
Now, another ice safety expert, Todd Shaler, a recreation enforcement and education chief with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, advises that you also bring a life jacket, ice picks, a cell phone, and a length of rope with you to stay safe on the ice. So what exactly happens if you do fall into frigid cold water? Well, according to Gordon Giesbrecht, also known as Dr. Popsicle, if you fall through, you first start gasping and hyperventilating
and breathing way more than you need to.
So he says, get your breathing under control fast. It's a race against hypothermia. Under that freezing water, you're losing body heat 25 times faster than if you were above water. Your blood pressure and heart rate is increasing fast. Your core temperature dropping. If you're able to tread water, you have as little as 15 minutes before losing consciousness.
So some other important tips for survival if you do fall in. Try not to flail your arms, but do keep them above water and warm if possible. Don't remove your clothes, especially your boots, because they may actually help to keep you floating. And swim in the direction that you came from. Generally, that's where the strongest ice will be. Now, if you're alone and you need to self-rescue, swimming may be your only option. But it's important to keep in mind that swimming or treading water can shorten your survival time by as much as 50%. Now, once you get back to the ice edge, try hoisting yourself out by kicking really hard. Now, the best piece of equipment to have with you at this point are those ice picks that we talked about. You know, you can reach out and stab those into the ice, and that gives you a grip, generally enough of a grip to pull yourself out. Now, here are some additional tips if you find yourself needing to rescue somebody else who's fallen through. First is call 911 immediately so that trained rescuers can be on hand as quickly as possible. Next, you want to throw something that may float to the person in trouble or use a long pole to extend out to them. You can use ladders pushed out on the ice, but just make sure that you don't go out on the ice yourself. Some things that people have used in the past successfully are tree branches or garden hoses, even small boats or ropes can be enough to help the person self-rescue. Never try and enter the water to rescue someone yourself. Before you know it, you become a victim in a case like that. So we've spent some time talking about how to stay safe and keep off thin ice, but it's important to remember that most people who spend time on the ice are safe and have a great time. You know, skating, skiing, or fishing on frozen lakes and ponds is a fantastic way to get outside and have some fun this winter. Just remember to assess the ice before you go. Check with locals, bring safety gear, and the knowledge of what to do should you or someone in your party fall through. As with most outdoor adventures, preparing ahead for your time on the ice can help you ensure that you have a safe and fun day. So I hope you got some valuable tips you can use to stay safe on the ice today. As you know, Outside Health and Fitness is free and supported by our listeners. If you find value in the information that we share and would like to help out, I would deeply appreciate it. Even a few dollars a month goes a long way. In fact, I've set up some really cool rewards for fans of the show at your Patreon page as a way of saying thank you. Levels start as low as $1 a month, so check them out at outsidehealthandfitness.com/support, and thank you for helping out. You can also find a link to your Patreon support page in the show notes for this episode at outsidehealthandfitness.com/155. When you visit online, you'll get links to everything we talked about on the show and your free copy of Fit Fast First Thing, my Tabata morning workout for a quick 10-minute routine you can use to start your day off right. It's a perfect way to stay in shape for fun on the ice this winter. Visit outsidehealthandfitness.com/155. I'm Steve Stearns. Thank you again for listening. Well, that wraps up another episode of the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast. I hope you got something of value from the show today that helps you get outside and in shape. For more on taking your health and fitness outside, visit outsidehealthandfitness.com and subscribe to the show. Until next time, I'll see you outside.